838 1360 97.5 WTAQ News Talk Sports. If you're listening right now and you are someone who has gotten into the Netflix exclusive program House of Cards, you're going to understand what I'm about to say. If you have not gotten into House of Cards, you are going to have to take my word for what I'm about to say. And you really should. If you have Netflix, it's spectacular. I actually was turned on to House of Cards by my boss. And he and I were wondering all of the behind-the-scene machinations that you see in House of Cards. Kevin Spacey, I think he's one of the Carolinas congressmen. I can't remember if it's North or South. Anyway, he's this Southern Democrat, and he is just absolutely a snake. And there are all of these things going on behind the scenes. Now, some of them seem possible. Others you know are not. But even the ones that seem possible, all of the things that he makes happen, he's the man behind the curtain in Washington, as it were. We were wondering, as we were discussing this show, how much of this you think is even near reality? Right now, Washington looks like an episode of House of Cards. I actually can, with everything that's going on, every chess move that Frank makes on House of Cards, behind the scenes, I can picture someone doing right now. I can picture someone in the Obama White House. Look, we have to make this really hurt. We're pinning this on the Republicans, so we have to inflict maximum pain. We'll close things we don't even control. What the hell? The public is too stupid to know. I can hear Frank saying it. Seriously. Yesterday, and I know, we in talk radio, if we are guilty of anything, we can overstate, we can overdramatize. It happens. You're on the radio, you're talking about these things. I'll confess, from time to time that does happen. Yesterday was one of the most dramatic days in all of the years I have been covering news or have had a public platform. It's one of the most dramatic days in Washington. Certainly more dramatic than the 1995 shutdown. I don't know that I would go all the way back to Watergate. That would be an overstatement. But certainly one of the most dramatic days. We arranged with Congressman Reed Ribble's office to have him give a daily update. We're going to have a hell of a lot to talk about with him when he hopefully checks in as scheduled. I say hopefully because things are fluid in Washington these days. In about 5 minutes. Actually, I'm a good deal of the show today, not all, but a good deal of the show today is going to focus on what's going on in Washington because there are so many facets to the story. The phony shutdowns of open-air memorials in other parks, state parks. I'm going to spend a good deal of time on Harry Reid saying, why would we want to help children with cancer? Well, as you might know, I have an answer for that. And that is what he said. No, I'm being taken out of context. No, you're not. We're going to play the audio. There are so many different individual stories under the umbrella of what's going on in Washington. So we're going to spend quite a bit of time on that today. I do want to get to the speed limit story that I didn't get to yesterday. And some other things going on out there. I want to start by mentioning to you something that you're not going to hear on the air. There's a 10 o'clock news conference concerning the status of the Leo Frigo Memorial Bridge in Green Bay. I guess over Green Bay, huh? Well, the bridge is kind of over Green Bay. We will not be carrying that live on the air. For logistical reasons, we cannot. However, we will be streaming it live at WTAQ.com. And there's a promise of some potentially new information. In fact, exactly what did happen when the pier failed, and what they might be doing to fix it, and how long that might take. I don't know. There's just a feel that some of that might be released today, but we'll see. I've made a prediction based on absolutely nothing that the bridge is going to be closed for some time. possibly a year. But again, that's pure, uninformed speculation on my part. I just suspect it's going to be a pretty major repair project. And I'm doubtful that you would see it get underway yet in 2013. But again, that's just me from afar. I don't want to give any impression that I have any insight on that. I don't. Quite frankly, I don't know if there's a lot of inside information to be had on this story because they're still trying to figure it out, still trying to get a feel for what happened. There is a story in today's paper pointing out preparation, patience, key to game day travel without I-43 bridge. I think it's going to have minimal impact on Packer game days. I really do. Not none, but minimal. I mean, other than Door County, I'm really not sure who coming to a Packer game is impacted by this. If you're coming from the South, and I believe this is a gold package game, if you're coming from the South, you're really not impacted at all. If you're coming from the West, from Wausau or whatever, you know, Highway 29, you're not. You take 41 South. If you're coming from straight north of Green Bay, Coleman, Lena, Pound, Krivitz, whatever, you just come down 141-41. So I really think this is one of those things where I don't want to say the media is trying to sensationalize it, but they're grasping for an angle of the story that I don't really think is there. I think there are other things that are going to be much messier because of this, but I don't think Packer game day is really going to be that big of a deal. Speaking of messy situations, that seems like a good introduction to say good morning to Congressman Reed Ribble. Reed, good morning.
Good morning, Jerry. How are you?
Good. You know, when we set this up, we were going to have daily updates. I thought you and I would be stretching to figure out what to talk about. Silly, silly me.
Yeah.
And you know, I can hear it in your voice. You know
yeah.
that. We're going to get, actually, I want to start on something that you brought up the other day. We're going to get to every, or as much as we can, in this segment of what happened with all of this yesterday. But you said something the other day that the really unfortunate thing is Obamacare launched with the train wreck that we thought it was going to be. And your consternation was, but that's not what's being reported, that it's all about the shutdown. The reality is it's so messed up, even the mainstream media is paying attention to it.
They are. They certainly are now. My point was that it would have been on the front page of
right.
every newspaper in the country.
Right. But it's after two straight days, they're paying attention to it. But even at that, Reed, and you and others have said this, and you're absolutely right, you're fighting two enemies. You're fighting Democrats, and you're fighting the mainstream media. I have to share this with you. Do you know, as screwed up as it was, the AP found a silver lining. In some ways, the delays that persisted Wednesday were good news for President Barack Obama and supporters of his signature domestic policy achievement because the holdup showed what appeared to be exceptionally high interest in the overhauled insurance system. You want to talk about lipstick on a pig.
Holy smokes, did they give you the real numbers of how many people are going there?
Yeah, and it's not high.
You know, it's not. They're anticipating somewhere around 7 million people between now and the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the U.S. airline industry moves about 3 million people a day, I think.
Right.
And so they're able to process tickets, pick seats, make arrangements and reservations and get people all around the globe, all via an internet platform with millions of flyers every single day. But the federal government can't get 7 million people over 3 months after they've been working on it for 3 years. It's unfortunate that that's not the story.
Yeah, but, and again, I do give the media some credit.
Yeah.
At least they are paying some attention to that now. Before we get, and I really do think it was high drama yesterday in Washington. Before we get to that, actually, my newsroom passed these along to ask to you, what's the status with your office? And we heard Tammy Baldwin is the only member of the Wisconsin delegation that closed her offices. How are you handling calls? Are you swamped? What are people saying?
Yeah, it's really busy. I've got among the smallest congressional staff in the Congress. And so I only have essential staff left. And so I've got everybody working, and the calls are busy, and they're representative of the district. You know, our district is a purple district in Wisconsin and nationally. And so my calls reflect that. I've got people that are angry, and they're angry for different reasons on both sides of the aisle. And so some folks calling in saying, you need to hold tough, shut the government down, and you've heard it on your phone calls that you have into the radio station. And then others saying, this whole thing is nonsense, reopen the government, you know, just send a clean CR and so on. So it's pretty much both sides of it, and they're busy. The call volume is busy.
Talking with Congressman Reed Ribble, I want to start with, and you and I didn't know a lot about this yesterday, and this has become one of the big stories. It is clear now that the Obama administration is shutting down things it need not shut down. We talked about the World War II Veterans Memorial, and they shut it down again, and veterans moved the barricades again, and they're shutting down things they don't even own. Clearly, they think that public opinion is on their side, that you guys are getting blamed for this, and they are trying to inflict maximum pain and damage.
Well, that's very, very true. It's interesting because this morning they're reporting that they're going to open the World War II Memorial. And by the way, for those who have never been there, this is an open-air memorial. You can enter it from just about every single angle other than the west, because there's the reflecting pond there and a fountain. But for the most part, you can come into the memorial from all different kinds of angles. And in fact, there are park police there. Now, they actually had to go during a shutdown and build a barricade to stop people from walking through something that's open air. And people walk through 24 hours a day during the regular year. And so it's now they're saying, well, we're going to open it up just for the honor flights and for World War II veterans. And you can kind of see that they feel like they've gotten hit a little bit on this, but there's no doubt that they feel that they're winning, and polling would imply that the blame for the shutdown is still been laid on Republicans.
And this is where I think the rubber hits the road. Now, I know the polls are showing that,
yep.
But my take is a lot of Americans are seeing through this crap. A lot of Americans have figured out what they're trying to do. I didn't like the strategy of the shutdown,
yep.
But you're here now, and my take is at this point Republicans have to hold it together.
Yeah, well, the interesting thing, and I was talking with Ron Johnson earlier today, the interesting here about the dynamic that's going on, if you look at approval ratings of Congress, they're running hovering around 10-12%,
yeah.
And have been around there, and so I'm having a hard time putting together this disconnect where people are saying, no, we want bigger and more government, while simultaneously saying the government sucks. And it's kind of a total disconnect. So let's give government more power, but we hate what's going on.
Wow.
It doesn't make any sense at all.
Yeah, something else that I'm going to spend a lot of time on this. I think you're aware that my signature charity is Families of Children with Cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And what Senator Reid said yesterday, he can spin this all he wants, but what he said is, why would they want to help children with cancer? He can say he was taken out of context. That is what he said. Those are the types of moments where I think the public is seeing behind the curtain.
I think you're right, and you know, for me, I have a tendency to extend a little bit of grace because it is easy to misspeak.
It is,
yeah. You know, and but on the same hand, it was clumsy for somebody with as much experience as he has, and so and certainly disappointing. So we sent over a bill last night,
yeah.
That would make sure that doesn't happen, and we'll see whether they take it up and vote on it.
In fact, the House did exactly what you talked about yesterday. You approved 3 targeted spending resolutions, daring the Senate to vote no on these.
Yeah, well, and I'm certain that they're not even going to vote on them.
Or, right.
That's just the strategy, but the American people ultimately will see through the charade, because we're going to continue to send over pieces of legislation that would reopen the government. And to my conservative colleagues, I also want them to consider something, because I think that this is a salient point. Many, many staunch conservatives wanted us to push to the max and if necessary, shut the government down if we were going to fund Obamacare. They would rather have it defunded and shut the government down in this fight. I would propose to you, though, that one of the only things that are actually up and running is Obamacare. And so the government is shut down, but Obamacare is not. And this was the point that I've been trying to make since August.
And Reid, I agreed with that, but and I want to reiterate, and it sounds like you and I might not be in agreement on this, but we're here now.
We are here now, and this is exactly where we're at. And so here's kind of the latest and what the discussions are here, is that we are going to see, I believe, yesterday, the Speaker of the House went over to the White House, and the majority and minority leaders from both parties were over at the White House with the president. And this is now starting to coalesce around a single financial discussion now that will do both. It'll provide funding for the government and deal with the nation's debt limit, which comes up on October 16th or 17th.
And in fact, I assume what you're referring to are reports that Speaker Boehner has what's being called another grand plan.
Well, yeah, I don't know that it's necessarily another grand plan, but everybody knows, at least I think everybody knows, and if they don't, they're going to know in a second here, that at the heart of our nation's fiscal problems is our entitlements, that we can continue to cut discretionary spending, but there is a reducing rate of return there because it gets smaller and smaller. Now, there's still room to move there a bit, but it's going to get smaller and smaller, while simultaneously interest on the national debt, Social Security and Medicare, and areas of mandatory spending continues to grow. And so until we're ready to face up to the fact that if we don't address those big programs, we will not avert a debt crisis in this country. And so they have to be reformed. And so the conversation has to take place at some point. I've been encouraging leadership to move faster rather than slower on these things, because every day that goes by, it costs more and will be more punitive to some class of Americans to fix it.
Well, so that to the layperson, then this what this looks like is extract something substantial from the Democratic side that has nothing to do with Obamacare.
Correct. I think it'll be directed more at the entitlement programs. When I say directed, it will be directed at reforms to start to bend the long-term fiscal trajectory of the country.
How do you think that would play with the faction that got you here?
I think the faction that got me elected really want got me to this place or got me to Congress?
Actually, I was talking about the faction that got us to the shutdown.
Oh, got us to the shutdown. I think if we were able to demonstrate a major type of reform that would actually begin to address what is roughly $100 trillion of unfunded obligations, I think that they would be willing to make that trade simply because it is, in fact, the big systemic threat.
Okay, final, and just a final thought, And I have said that Republicans have a point on this, how Democrats have the media on their side. The Media Research Center did an analysis of stories on the shutdown from the big network, TV network news. 39 stories, 21 blame Republicans, 0 blame Democrats, 14 blame no one.
Yeah, yeah.
And that is what you're up against, and people can't take that lightly. I know sometimes it sounds like an excuse.
Yeah, and I recognize that, but... And I know that there's a political cost here, and that's why I wanted to use a different strategy from the beginning, but that's not where we're at. We're here. And so now I think the strategy to roll this into a single, so that we have just one single crisis we're dealing with here and getting beyond it, I think makes the most sense. I would refer you, though, and I've been looking back at a lot of the constitutional responsibilities, and I'm going to refer you to James Madison in Federalist 58. You mind if I just read one paragraph?
Got
time or not?
Yeah, we're actually really tight on time. Maybe
okay,
we're going to be talking to you tomorrow, so
we'll
how about
tomorrow.
That? All right, Congressman Reid Ribble, thanks. We will see, he did a radio tease, and he didn't even know it. We will do that tomorrow. And I've got a lot more to say about the shutdown at 9:06, 8:57.